Hello everybody, I'm Alejandro Piñeiro Iglesias. I work for Igalia and I'm going to present the update for the book and driver for the Raspberry Pi. That is, you know, this device. So I'm going to talk about the book and driver. The thing is that last year, first thing I also made a presentation about the driver. At that point, it was a new thing. So what I'm going to do in this presentation is starting with a recap, a summary of that last year presentation. Then I'm going to move to the current status, to what we were doing during the last year, focusing first on the performance and how we came to get the driver 1.1 conformance. So a summary of the last year presentation. On August 2020, we got a minimal Vulkan 1.0 feature set. That means that we were able to complete all the features needed for to be Vulkan 1.0 conformant. Then slightly after that, we moved the development to Mesh Upstream. Until then, we were working on a custom branch, on a personal branch. And then after some bug fixing, we sent the driver to Kronos, and we got the driver to get the 1.0 conformance. Then after that, so we can say that at that point, the driver was the 1.0 feature set complete with the mandatory extensions. So then we started to move to test real world applications, and then we moved to test the driver with 64-bit. That at that point our initial idea was to test both, but I think that right now the default, at least for us, for the core developers of the driver, we test mostly on 64-bit scenarios. So the current status. Since then, we are, in addition to merge it upstream, we also got it connected to the upstream GitLab CI iterations. That means that right now, every time that we create a merge request for a new stuff on the driver, it will pass through a set of tests. So if you want to integrate a new change, it needs to pass all those tests. It's not a full Kronos CTS test suite, because that will require a lot of hours. So it's a subset, around 10 minutes. And then we also improved the Windows system platform support for one and for display. And as mentioned before, we worked a lot on getting performance improvements, and we were able to move from 1.0 to be 1.1 conformant. We also improved the support, or we get the driver working with some debug applications. The most famous one is RenderDog. The RenderDog is basically the default Vulkan debug application. At first, it was not working, so we needed to do some bug fixing on our driver to get it working. And since then, it became a really, really useful tool. Another tool that we also needed to do some bug fixing and to get it working was GFX Reconstruct. This tool is basically it allows you to record your Vulkan commands, and then it allows you to replay them. This was really helpful for our performance work, because what we usually do is work on a specific thing, and then we need to test it if it really works or not. So what we do is replay a specific trace of a given application instead of running manually the application. We also got it working with several Unreal Engine 4 demos. That was also useful for when we were working on the performance work. So, talking about the performance work, as I mentioned, the main focus—I mean, on the last year for them, I mentioned that we were working, we were doing an initial performance work. And we use mostly the original trilogy for Quake, because there is a lot, there are a lot of some ports for Vulkan. So this year, sorry, last year and on 2021, we started to use Unreal Engine 4 samples. These ones compared with the Quake and Doom 3 demo games are generally GPU limited. I mean, they use a lot of, they use more the GPU, and they use a really expensive shaders. So as the most expensive one was the shading, we focus on the baking, on the compilation, on the compiler of the driver. The advantage of that is that the improvements that we were doing on the Vulkan, for Vulkan, was also helping the OpenGL driver, because for this platform, for the Broadcom support, there are some common paths, and specifically the compiler is common for the Vulkan and OpenGL driver, OpenGL, OpenGL, yes. So what was the process of that performance work? What we were doing was basically running up one of the samples, and we captured the shader. And visually, reading the output, we were trying to identify places that seemed not optimal, and figured out how that part could be were generated. We started to think on how to implement and design optimizations. And then at the end, after we implemented those, we usually used three tools. One was ShaderDB. ShaderDB is a tool what it does is compare. It allows you to compare a shader. It outputs the compiled code, and it shows statistics about that, about how